Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
I focus on the builder first strategy. So I reach out to home builders like D.R. Horton. Everyone knows they're the largest home builder in the U.S. D.R. Horton, I say, hey, D.R. Horton, I know you have a land acquisition specialist. You might want to write that down if you're interested in this. Land acquisition specialist, their job is to do what? Acquire land for the company, right? Every division has different land acquisition specialists. So I reach out to them and I say, hey, land acquisition specialist, I know you need land for your upcoming projects. Please let me know where you're buying and how much you are paying. Okay. With those two very important pieces of information, I can then hunt for deals for them. So if they're buying in Tampa, Florida for $100,000, vacant lots, right? What I'm gonna do is find all the vacant lots. I could pull that with data and research, right? I could pull all the vacant lots in Tampa, Florida and make offers for less than what the builder is paying. So the builder's paying 100, I'm gonna make offers for 90 to everybody in Tampa. And there is going to be people that are like, you know what? I'm interested, I'm motivated, and I'm ready to go. And then what I will do is take that contract and assign it to D.R. Horton, and D.R. Horton will cut me a check for 10 grand.
The biggest risk that most entrepreneurs take is trying to build a successful business without funding. But that risk is a reality for 1 out of every 3 entrepreneurs because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be in order for them to access that capital. Now, the truth is you can close the gap between where your business is versus where you want it to be by leveraging business credit, but if your personal credit report is poor, 99% of banks and lenders are going to deny you from doing so. And I should know, because a couple of years ago, I leveraged my personal credit report to get funding from Chase to start my company. And now that very same company, Take All Financial, is serving entrepreneurs just like you that are looking to restore their credit to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding. So if you want to go from risk to reward, click the link above or below this video to schedule your free consultation so that we can restore your credit and put you in position to access capital to build the business of your dreams.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a real estate wholesaler, investor, developer, and entrepreneur extraordinaire. She's the owner and founder of the LaRock Capital Group, host of the Landing the Deal podcast, and through her platform, she's educated tens of thousands on how to make multiple 6 figures in real estate through a groundbreaking strategy that has made success in the space easier than it's ever been. Whether she's developing real estate projects or closing wholesale deals, her track record in the industry is a testament to why her success is not coincidence, it's confirmation. Ladies and gentlemen, from the beautiful city of Tampa Bay, Florida, my Haitian sister from another mister, my Haitian sir from your Lord Montfleur, I'm here with the one, the only, Ms. Derby, aka the Land Queen. What's going on, family? How are you?
That was hilarious. That was so funny. Thank you so much. That was amazing.
You know what I mean? Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you like this. Next time you do a podcast, to sit down, whatever it may be, they don't introduce you like that. You get up, you leave. They don't respect you. You understand? How are you?
Noted. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Most definitely excited to have you. I know that we got connected. So funny story about how we got connected. If I remember correctly, you and I first met last year in InvestFest 2023.
Yes.
And I see a mutual friend of ours, Sheeta Three, who's a very good friend of the podcast as well. I'm walking down the halls. And next to Sheeta, I see this 5'10", 5'11", Amazonist that's just over here having this riveting conversation. I walk up. We introduce each other. I don't know if it was the Haitian aura that just gravitated me towards you, but one thing led to another. We hit it off, and I'm happy that we were able to stay in contact and now ultimately be able to bring you on here to talk about your level of expertise. So very happy to have you on.
Thank you so much again for having me, Marvin.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So I'm very excited for this conversation. I know that with my audience, they love real estate. I've had a lot of different investors from the tax deed space to land banks to just traditional commercial and traditional residential. But I've never had someone come on here and talk about what it is that you specialize in. So, you know, I got some questions and they need some answers. And I'm extremely excited for us to get into it. But before we do that, of course, I want to get the people who aren't familiar with you. So before we jump into all of that, I did okay job of introducing you. But for those who do not know, who exactly is Miss Derby?
Yes, thank you so much again. So yes, my name is Miss Derby. They call me the Land Queen. Well, I got started in real estate back in 2018, starting out wholesaling houses, which a lot of people start off real estate in that space, the wholesaling houses. But, you know, for me, it wasn't as easy as a lot of the gurus made it sound. So I kind of like transitioned my areas of expertise into land. So now I focus on supplying land to local home builders here in the state of Florida. And I've been teaching so many students how to do the same. And I use my background in education because I am actually an elementary school teacher. I taught elementary school for about 4 school years and have my degree in education. So I love the teaching background. It just, you know, that, you know, the teaching space was just not for me. So just because of the pay, school system, it was just a lot. So I decided to transition into finding ways to make money for myself. And that's how I, you know, got into the real estate space.
Fantastic. Let's unpack that a little bit more, because I know that a lot of people who follow the podcast and follow the channel are either new entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs who are still in that 9-to-5 space and looking to make that transition. Reading a little bit more into your story, if I remember correctly, you started teaching 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I graduated from 2015.
There you go. 2015 to 2018 is when you were teaching, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And then 2018 was ultimately when you had made the decision to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and go in a different direction. What were a lot of those different moving pieces that went into that? Because from a lot of the different people that want to get into entrepreneurship, there's always that mental barrier of like, well, if I leave this guaranteed thing to get in this not so guaranteed thing, what's going to happen? How are things going to play out? Is this, you know, is this business idea that I have really going to work? What did that process look like for you in that time, point in time of your life?
Ooh, it was hard. I was still super young. I was like 24, 25 at the time of leaving my teaching career. And, you know, being that I have Haitian, very strict Haitian parents. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Trying to leave a good job Haitian, you know, you have a Haitian parents and you have a degree. They didn't just, you know, see why I was even doing it. They didn't justify, you know, make sense of why I was leaving that career. But I had to, you know, just kind of do it for myself at this point. I was doing serving jobs on the side. I was tutoring. I was hustling, doing little side hustles as I was building up my career in wholesaling real estate, I should say. And then it took about almost a year. But as I'm hustling and grinding, doing the little gigs, I was also grinding on the side. But then about, I want to say 8 months later, after like hearing the word wholesaling to closing my first deal, that's when the light bulb went off and I was like, okay, I'm going to just invest into myself full time. And I just went full fledged into the land space. Initially I did some houses. I'm not gonna lie. I did some wholesaling houses. It was not as fun or not as simple as wholesaling land. But it definitely was, a journey to say the least in the beginning. So
now when we talk about that transition that you had from, you know, having, and to quickly touch on it, once again, Derby coming from Haitian descent, me coming from Haitian descent, to give anyone who's not Haitian watching this right now, in a Haitian household, you really have 3 careers that you could do. It's doctor, lawyer, engineer. Anything outside of that, your Haitian parents, like, they kind of don't claim you. They kind of do. They're on the fence about a little bit. You understand? It's not a very fun time. So now to have a stable job, like she said, and make that transition, I already know what those conversations were like. I know that they definitely were not easy. I see rolling eyes, so I know it was tough. Of all the different spaces of business that you could have chose, why real estate? Why not e-commerce? Why not consulting? Why not start a credit business, get into, you know, the car rental space? What was it about real estate that pulled you in?
I think it just made sense for me. For one, when I got into the real estate space, it was kind of by accident. I was actually like hustling, making money. Me and my ex at the time, and I found flipping furniture as something fun to do. Like I was
right.
buying huge dressers, flipping furniture, literally like scraping paint off and making it all pretty again. And that was so much fun for me. And then to sell it for like a few hundred dollars on Facebook Marketplace was like, oh my gosh, this is cool. Let me see if I can find something else to flip. Mm-hmm. And I was literally like flipping just like other things to flip to make money. And then I came across Max Maxwell and Tony the Closer. Mm. They're honestly the people that put that bug into my ear of real estate. When mm-hmm. I was watching their videos, I remember they were talking about how they were flipping so many contracts and made like 700 grand in their first year. And then the process of how they explained the flipping of real estate, I should say, or wholesaling, it sounds so simple. And I'm like, I think I could do that. So I remember calling a title company because I was like, I don't believe this. So I called a title company and they were like, yeah, you know, we just gave an assignment fee to a wholesaler for like 20 grand just this morning. And I'm like, oh my goodness, so this is real. This is something that I could do. So that's right. when I became obsessed. I got into, if you know, Sis Shanika, I got into her group when I was in 2019, Max Maxwell's group, Tony the Close, everybody that was wholesaling real estate at the time, I was all in their groups, just soaking in everything that I could. As much as I could. So yeah, that's how I really got into the wholesaling space. And then from there, I started transitioning to land from my first deal. So my first real estate transaction, I was struggling still so hard to close my first wholesaling deal. And I remember Max was talking about on a YouTube video, he was like, if you want to find motivated sellers, go to tax deed auctions. And I'm like, okay, this started putting a bug in my ear. So I went through tax deed auctions and I found that a lot of the properties on tax deed auction were vacant land. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's just because people are letting their taxes go on land. And I noticed that a lot of the videos I saw on YouTube, people were like, just skip that. Don't worry about the land. Skip the land. Just focus on the houses, the distressed properties. And I'm like, let me focus on the land. So I focused on land and found two lots side by side in Florida, in Hernando County. And I found those, the guy that owned them, he wanted them for $7,000 or no, I can't remember the exact numbers now, but he wanted them for super, super, you know, inexpensive. And I got them under contract and ended up finding people who purchased from auction. I went back in time to see who bought from auction. I said, hey, I see that you're buying land in the auction. Would you be interested in these lots? And the guy was like, yeah, I'll buy them. And he ended up paying us an assignment fee of $7,000 in 9 days. And he's like, hey, if you have any other land, bring them to me. I'm buying them. And I'm like, okay, vet. So we're bringing him land. We end up meeting him in Miami, sitting down with him, having lunch. And he's like, yeah, what I do is I buy land from tax deed auction and I sell it to home builders. I'm like, so why am I working with you? Because then I realized he's making a huge fee. So I'm making $7,000. But he made like 20 grand because he's working directly with the home builder. So we ended up like kind of putting the pieces together and saying, hey, you know, if builders are buying land, let's just go straight to them and cut this guy out.
Right.
So that's how we essentially became the land plugs and started working with home builders.
And fast forward some several years later, it's either Miss Derby or the land queen. There's no in between. You understand? And usually more often than not, people are referring to you as a land queen, not simply just because of the space that you've been able to have within just wholesaling land, but more importantly that your students have been able to have, right? Yes. Talk to me a little bit more about that because you've created programs, you've provided so much free value information to other people. And we're going to dive into the game. Trust me, we will. But talk a little bit about the students that you've been able to impact and just put in position to also get started and also have success in this space as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, as I started making progress in the real estate space, being a teacher, I started sharing my, my checks and sharing my, just things that was happening in the space of the land, wholesaling land and how, land is a lot easier and there's a lot you don't have to do. And so as I've been showing that and broadcasting that to the people online, I got a lot of traction and a lot of people were reaching out to me saying they're struggling with houses and they don't know where to go and what to do. And so they started with me and I taught them from start to finish how to supply land to builders virtually, with no real estate license, no calculating ARV, no, paying for anything out of your own pocket, never having to meet the seller in person. Everything can honestly be done virtually, which made everybody have so much success. So I have a lot of students who are now making 6-7 figures, not only making 6-7 figures, people are making 6 figures on just one land deal.
Come on.
Yep. And students that are now coaching and teaching others now how to wholesale land or supply land to builders. Honestly, I'm the originator of the land space now. Like, a lot of people don't realize that I'm the originator of the supplying the builder first strategy. So I think that's needs to be noticed. So that people understand the land queen.
Come on now.
I'm just playing. No, but truly, a lot of people don't understand that land is a lot easier as far as compared to wholesaling houses. So,
and listen, you're over here talking about making 6 to 7 figures. You understand closing deals. We're getting into my space of the bag talk. So I want to now make sure we take time to unpack this for all the aspiring real estate investors and even experienced ones that maybe looking for a different strategy than what they've been using up until this point. So let's take some time now to break down the game for them. You have a very specific, very creative way on how you are able to invest and make money in real estate, which, as you just broke down, is land wholesaling, right? Now, before we dive into that, there may be some people who aren't even familiar with just what wholesaling is in and of itself. So break down what exactly is wholesaling. How does wholesaling in its core work?
Yes, absolutely. So Barney style, ready? Let's go to class. Wholesaling real estate is when you go ahead and reach out to a property owner and you ask them if they're interested in possibly selling their property. If they are, your goal as a wholesaler is to get it literally at a wholesale discounted price for you to then assign it to somebody who's then going to go make a profit on it. So like, for example, a house. If you ever see those "we buy ugly houses" signs everywhere, that those are wholesaling companies. They find those ugly houses and supply it to people who fix and flip homes who are going to then make a profit. And I do the same thing, but with home builders, and I do it with a different twist. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. You want me to tell them now?
Oh, no. Well, we're going to get there. Step by step, piece by piece. Okay. So now from there, we understand what wholesaling is. So what is the main difference between traditional wholesaling compared to the twist that you do when it comes to land wholesaling? Break that down.
Yeah. Oh, and then one more thing I want to add to the first half as far as what wholesaling is.
Let's do it.
Just for numbers purposes, just because it makes a lot more sense. If I get a property under contract with a seller who has a house for $100,000, what I could do with that piece of paper or that contract is make it assignable. So I can assign my rights to an end buyer who will then take it for a little bit higher than what I have it for. Mm-hmm. So if I have it for under contract for $100,000, I can assign my rights for $120,000, and the title company will take both of those contracts and cut me a check for the difference. So I'll make $20,000, and it's legal. So.
Oh, fada. This is getting good.
Yeah. So that's the analytical aspect of it. So to answer your second question, as far as what I do that's different,
right,
is I focus on the builder first strategy. So I reach out to home builders like D.R. Mm-hmm. Horton. Everyone knows they're the largest home builder in the U.S. D.R. Horton, I say, hey, D.R. Horton, I know you have a land acquisition specialist. You might want to write that down if you're interested in this. Land acquisition specialist, their job is to do what? Acquire land for the company. Right? Every division has different land acquisition specialists. So I reach out to them and I say, hey, land acquisition specialist, I know you need land for your upcoming projects. Please let me know where you're buying and how much you are paying. Okay. Mm-hmm. With those two very important pieces of information, I can then hunt for deals for them. So if they're buying in Tampa, Florida for $100,000, vacant lots, right? What I'm going to do is find all the vacant lots. I could pull that with data and research, right? I could pull all the vacant lots in Tampa, Florida and make offers for less than what the builder is paying. So the builder's paying 100. I'm going to make offers for 90 to everybody in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And there is going to be people that are like, you know what? I'm interested. I'm motivated and I'm ready to go. And then what mm-hmm. I will do is take that contract and assign it to DR Horton, and DR Horton will cut me a check for 10 grand.
Oh, come on now. This is getting good. Okay. So then this is good. This is very, very good. So we have context now on your approach to wholesaling compared to the traditional approach. From your experience in the space to what you see going on now, because I love asking this question whenever I have people in the real estate space come on here. I feel like every other day, I'm not a real estate, but I hear every other day about the market. There's a crash going on. You know, don't invest, don't do this. Is there anything that's taking place in the market right now, as we're recording this in 2024, that makes getting into land wholesaling as fruitful as it's ever been, or should there be some trepidation there for someone that may be looking to get into the space? What are based on your experience, what you see going on right now, could you give us some context around that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as the land space goes, I think a lot of people think that because of any type of housing crisis is that may be going on, it affects everywhere in the US. That's not the case. It's only sometimes in certain markets, right? So for example, when COVID happened, right? Everybody was leaving states like New York and flooding down to the southern states like Texas, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas. People were leaving those states, selling their $1 million homes and coming down here and buying a $300,000 brand new house cash. Mm-hmm. So it affected the New York market, but it didn't affect the southern markets, right? So It made the southern markets actually in more of a need. And that's when the builders are paying more and they needed lots because there was so much of a need for these types of for homes and for land.
Right.
So it's not going to always affect everywhere. I think a lot of people think, oh, well, I seen a piece of land as I'm driving down my house, you know, driving down the street in Alabama. You know, Alabama is not as a lucrative market as Florida or Texas or the Carolinas or Arizona, right? So right. I think a lot of people need to understand that wholesaling land, and to be successful in this, you have to be in a market where the need is great. Mm-hmm. So the need has to be great. Your services have to be needed at a very all-time high.
Okay. I love that. Now, if I'm hearing all of this information and I'm hearing you crunch down the numbers and I'm saying to myself, okay, cool, this sounds fantastic. But if I'm not in this space at all and I want to get started, roughly how much does it take for us to get started in the land wholesaling space? Do we need $1,000, $5,000, $10,000? What has your experience been?
So thankfully, this business is very low maintenance, so it doesn't require a lot of expenses as far as like paying for things goes. I would suggest getting a good data provider. So honestly, there's a lot of free ones. PropWire is free. It allows you to pull unlimited leads in any market in the US. It's called PropWire. I use it and I find I close a lot more deals using PropWire than paid services like PropStream and Lead Sherpa and DataTree and all those other tools. Okay. So PropWire is the first thing you're going to need. That's going to allow you to pull property. A CRM is going to be another big tool that you're going to need. And that can run you about $50 to $150 depending on the tool you use per month. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Skip tracing is going to be your biggest tool. Skip tracing allows you to get the phone numbers of all the people that you're pulling with PropWire. That can cost you 7 to 14 cents depending on the data that you the company that you use for your data. I use Lead Mining Pros and I also use Skip Matrix. Those are the two companies I like to use. So depending on how many people you're pulling, that's where it can get costly. The last two tools that are needed per month are like a PDF editor to edit your contracts and also an electronic signature, which could be PandaDoc or DocuSign. A lot of people use DocuSign. So honestly, like I said, it's not a high expense business per month. It could be very, very low. It's just really learning the skills of wholesaling land, having the best builders possible and knowing sales. If you know sales, if you're in car sales, if you worked in the mall and you had to talk to people, you could talk to a brick wall. This is the best possible. You can make a lot of money.
I love it. And then another thing too, because so fun fact, and the audience knows this. I'm like 1% selfish when I bring individuals like yourself on here, because I actually used to wholesale myself for like a month. Yeah, I hated it with all my heart and soul. It was not because I followed the traditional way. It was not fun. And I did it in New York. A lot more red tape, a lot of different things you got to deal with. It was something to call a spade a spade. But one of the things when I was in the space that I used to hear was you don't necessarily build your house on the foundation of wholesaling. This is kind of like a means to you for you to get some cash, for you to actually become an investor. Right. In your case, I know that you're currently in the process of, you know, developing and, you know, working on a couple of different projects, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later. But in the space of land wholesaling, is that still more or less the same or is it different? Like, should I look at land wholesaling as this is going to be my end all be all? I'm going to create wealth for generations upon generations to come? Or is this just a means for me to get a certain amount of capital that I could use to actually start buying property and owning property?
It could be a mix. So for me, I still wholesale land and I've been doing it, you know, over 5 years. It's a great way to gain capital very quickly. It's a great way to learn more about the real estate space and to then dabble into development or, you know, just anything new construction, larger projects. And it's also so easy to automate, y'all. Once you understand how to close a deal from start to finish and you've closed a few deals, being that it's so virtual, you can hire somebody from the Philippines like I do in my business and my students have as well to fully automate and run that whole entire business on your own. So that way you're just closing deals for these builders and you're doing your own thing on the side. So that's what I'm doing now. I coach and I also develop new construction for affordable housing.
Let's do it. So listen, you're talking all this talk about, oh, it's easy. I'm making all this money. My students are doing this. I got to see it. You got to show me for me to believe it. We could talk about it from now till the cows come home. I got to see it with my own eyes, Derby. I want you to be able to show not just me, but also everyone else that's watching this episode, step by step, how they can not only get into space, but navigate it to have the absolute most success possible. So I want to give you the floor to show them step by step how they can go ahead and get started in the land wholesaling space. And as you're navigating through your breakdown of everything, I'm going to ask a couple questions, if that's all right with you. They're just a couple questions that I know my audience may or may not have as it pertains to having success in this space as well. But without further ado, the floor is yours.
The biggest risk that most entrepreneurs take is trying to build a successful business without funding. But what if I told you that risk doesn't have to be your reality just by you having access to the right information? What's going on, family? My name is Marvin Francois, and just a couple of years ago, I was a new entrepreneur trying to turn my dreams of building a successful business into a reality. Now, once I learned that the key to me doing so was accessing business credit, I accessed the funding I needed, leveraged it to build multiple six-figure businesses, and I haven't looked back since. And now, I want to give you the exact blueprint that I use to do this so that you could do the same for your business as well. So this Thursday, I'm going to be hosting my free Bankroll Your Business Masterclass, where I'm going to be teaching you how to access a minimum of $50,000 in funding, whether you have good credit, bad credit, or no credit, so that you can take that funding to build the business of your dreams. But listen, we only have 100 seats, and by the time you watch this video, about half of them are going to be gone. So if you haven't already, click the link above or below this video to secure your seat, and I'll see you on Thursday. Let's go.
Let's do it. I love this. Okay, cool. Let me get started on the first thing, which is, I think, the step-by-step process I think a lot of people don't understand, which is choosing a market in the real estate space. So when it comes to wholesaling land, you have to be in the most lucrative markets, like I mentioned earlier. I always recommend Florida is number one, I always say. And actually, let's show you guys.
Let's do it.
So let me go to Zillow.com. I love Zillow just because.
Also, are you sharing your screen at this current moment?
Not yet. I'm about to.
Okay, got you.
Okay. You guys can see my screen, I'm sure.
Yes, we are cooking. Let's do it.
Awesome. So yes, I'm using Zillow. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a very visual learner and I like to see everything. So the first thing I like to do is I like to analyze two things. Number one, I want to analyze the new construction that is in an area over the last 12 months and how much new construction sold versus the vacant lots that have sold in the last 12 months. So I'm going to just go ahead and do the entire state of Florida. And let's do that. Let me get my screen up here. Okay. All right. So I like to look at the entire state of Florida. The first thing I like to do is play around with my filters. So I'll go to more and I'm going to just reset everything just to make sure it's all good to go. I'm going to go to the sold tab and just click on sold, click apply. I leave price and bed and bath. I leave that alone because what I'm trying to do is see the numbers as far as what new construction homes sold and how many sold. So okay. I do houses. I deselect all and select houses because I'm looking at new construction homes. And I click on the more tab and select on year built. And I'll type in 2023 since it's 2024. And then I'm going to go down and click on sold in the last 12 months. Once I do that,
No, you go. Yeah. So just to make sure, because I want to make sure I'm with you. So the first thing that you're doing is, of course, identifying the market. Now, in your case, your focus is mainly in the space of Florida, correct?
Correct. I'm going to show you guys all states, though.
Got you. Overview. Okay, yeah. Got you. Now, from there, once you identify the respective state, you're now looking for new construction that's happened recently, because if I'm understanding correctly, in those spaces where new construction is taking place, there will also be lots of land maybe nearby that you can now wholesale, if I'm understanding correctly.
Correct. And I'm going to show you guys so it's more visual thing so you guys can see exactly what I'm looking at. So as after I put my sold and houses and new construction filter on, I'm going to look at the entire state of Florida. And the first thing that I notice is that there's a lot of activity here in Central Florida. And we all know why. That's probably because Disney and all the tourist attractions. And then, of course, here alongside the coastline. So the coastline is because of the beaches, right? Everyone loves to be by the beach. And then as I'm looking here at my results, I see that there's 54,000 plus new constructions that sold in the last 12 months, which is amazing, y'all. This is what you want. You want to see a lot of activity in a market. And then what I'm doing from there is I'm going to start looking at the land that sold in the same market, right? So I'm looking at the entire state of Florida, and I want to kind of see, okay, is land kind of on the same trajectory as far as like the dots and the activity? So let's check that out. And then we're going to go and show you a little bit more. Let me see. I'm going to leave everything at sold. I'm going to go to home type and select lots and land now. Click apply. Go to more. And I'm going to take off the year built because remember, this is a piece of land. So there's no building on it. And I'm going to still leave sold in the last 12 months. I'm going to click apply. And as you guys can see, 65,000 plus vacant lots sold in the last 12 months here. And as you guys can tell, it's kind of along the same path, right? So you're going to see a lot of activity on the coastline, still in Central Florida. And I'm seeing some more, you know, sporadic throughout the state, but not too much, right? So that gives me an idea that I need to be more along the coastline and more in Central Florida. And I don't need to waste my time here and like, you know, Okeechobee or anything like that, like this whole area, like Placid. I wouldn't probably waste my time there, but I will spend my time where a lot of the clusters are. And this is how you know that you're in a good and strong market. And you want to analyze that. And I like to, what I personally like to do is I like to look at the whole state at first, right? Then I like to look at the city, zip code, or county to see whether they have a certain amount of lots that sold or land that sold in the last 12 months versus new construction. And I like to see a certain number. Okay. I don't like to see only like 500 homes that sold in the last 12 months. I like to see at least 700 or more. Okay. So that's a magic number for me. I know that when I see 700 lots or 700 new construction homes sold in the last 12 months in a city, zip code, or county, that this area is more lucrative than something that sold only 100 homes, right?
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. So the magic number that we're looking for any potential market that we would want to begin our land wholesaling journey in is that 700 range. Usually if you have at least 700 lots or new development areas that have sold within a certain time frame, you're good money. You're cooking with Crisco.
Yeah, at least that number or more. So I'm going to remove the boundaries so we can look at it. I'm going to look at the entire, all of the states in the U.S. So as you guys can tell, this is on my new construction filter. So I'm still seeing a lot in Charleston, some parts in Savannah, scattered in the surrounding areas of Atlanta. Tennessee is doing really, really good right now. This is where I want to be. Anywhere you see those activity in those clusters, that's where I want to be at. I have students that will tell me like, hey, you know, I'm wholesaling land and I'm calling builders and nobody wants to work with me. And they're literally in the middle of nowhere, right? We don't want to be in the middle of nowhere where there's no new construction activity. I want to be where the need is great and where people are building at an all-time high. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. One quick question. So with you, you're born and raised in Florida, right? Okay. Yeah. And, you know, obviously you're fortunate enough to be in a state where there's a lot of opportunity as it pertains to land wholesaling. Although this business is virtual, should I have any concern if at all, if let's say I'm in New York and I want to wholesale in like a North Carolina or Florida or any of these other areas that may potentially have, you know, a lot of opportunity there. Is my approach to wholesaling there going to be any different than if I was, you know, wholesaling out of my own backyard, or is it more or less the same?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely the same. So you will have no issues. I have students literally all over the country, people in California wholesaling land in Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas. I have people in New York wholesaling land in Texas and Arizona. So
beautiful.
I don't go and see any of these properties. I've probably seen maybe, I want to say 5 to 10 of the lots that I've ever seen, but I did it for content. I literally went out there just to film content because I closed a huge deal out there. But I don't wholesale land in Tampa. Like, I live out here and there's a lot of new construction activity. I don't wholesale land out here. I actually do it all over the other parts of, you know, the state of Florida. So,
right.
Yep. Virtually.
Gotcha.
Yep. So that's how I analyze the market. So that's step one. So once you've found that market and you've niched down, like, okay, I'm gonna be in this market, I'll be in here. I say 2 to 3 markets to start off. And then the next thing you're gonna do is call home builders. Okay. Now I got my market. Let's call builders. The best way to find home builders virtually is by literally Google searching. Let's just do Charlotte. Home builders in Charlotte, North Carolina. All right. So once I put that in, I'm going to go scroll down to businesses and select more businesses. And then these are all the builders right here. So Vista Homes, I can call Vista Homes and say, hey, Vista Homes, I see that you guys are building new construction in the Charlotte area. I wanted to know if you guys were buying any more vacant lots, right? So these are the home builders that I like to acquire. I'll go down this entire list. You can make a spreadsheet or put it in your CRM. You can have your kids do this, call them all. You can have a virtual assistant call them all, or you can do it. But the conversation pretty much goes like this. Thank you for calling DR Horton. This is Julie speaking. How may I help you? Hey, Julie, I just had a quick question. Are you guys buying any vacant lots at the moment? And if Julie says, oh yeah, we're always buying. Okay, great. Do you have a land acquisition specialist? I can send over what I have. And then they'll be like, oh, absolutely. We have a land acquisitions. Johnny, here's Johnny's email. And that right there allows me to take that email and then contact him through email to ask him what his buying criteria is. We never like to get on the call with them and say, hey, can I speak to Johnny now? Like, you know, if they say, yeah, Johnny's available, can I speak with Johnny? Who's the land acquisition specialist? You don't want to bombard Johnny, who doesn't even know who you are, right? You always want to prove yourself through email. These guys are super busy acquiring land, sticking to quota, analyzing these lots. So their last thing is for like a whole bunch of wholesalers to be calling them and asking for the same thing. So if you email it to them, they have typically a template and a buy box that they'll send over, and then you can then acquire these lots for them.
What is a buy box?
So a buy box is considered like buying criteria. So they'll show you exactly where they're buying in the Charlotte area, maybe preferred neighborhood, zip codes, things like that, with size lots as far as like, okay, they're buying 2 acres or more, or 10,000 square foot lots. And then all of the buying criteria as far as like, we use this title company. This is our title company. We own this. We put a certain amount of escrow down. This is what you need to put on your contracts. So they give you all of what you need to be able to go out and hunt for the deals and negotiate those deals down.
Got you. So in a sense, that's a large part to your point of what you mentioned earlier of why land wholesaling is so much easier, because it's almost like a reverse engineering. Instead of me going to the seller and try to find somebody that wants to buy this property, I'm going to the person that wants to buy the property and reverse engineering and say, okay, you want this much square feet in this area for this much. Cool. And they're literally breaking everything down piece to piece for you to where now you just find somebody that is already selling something that fits that exact criteria. And as long as you get them under the number that you want them to be at to where you are able to make a profit, you're cooking.
Correct. Exactly.
Got you. If y'all see me, let me tell y'all something. If you see me stop doing this channel and I start wholesaling land, it's Derby's fault. It's not mine. It's Derby's fault. It's not mine. I'm just letting y'all know in advance.
So I'll go back. I do home builders in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then as I go to Charlotte, North Carolina home builders out there, I click on more businesses. And then right here is where I'm going to find all of the home builders.
Got you.
Okay. So there, as you can see, there's literally pages of them. If you're in different markets, like I'll go to another market that's pretty lucrative, Lee County, Florida. Lee County is the number one county for new construction here in the state of Florida. There has been so many, like I'm talking about, Lee County has done more numbers than entire states as far as new construction. So this is a really good market. And as you can see, there's over 100 builders out here that you can reach out to that are always buying constantly, always needing property.
So kind of break down everything you set up until this point. The first step is we're going into Zillow and we're pretty much scavenging throughout just different states throughout the U.S. to see, okay, cool, who has about, and if I remember correctly, the number was 700, around 700 land developments that have been sold within a set time frame. From there, once I find that area, whether it's in Florida, North Carolina, Texas, wherever it may be, I then now zero in on that area through Google Maps and start to find home builders that are within that respective area as well. I find those home builders, I get the number for those home builders, I call in, and I'm most likely going to get a receptionist, and I actually get connected with their, what's it called, acquisition specialist? What was the one?
Yep, it's their land acquisition specialist, and you want to get their name and their email.
Got you. You get their name and their email. You don't want to speak to them right then and there. Because if you speak to them right then and there, you're more than likely not going to be prepared. You do, however, want to get their buy box, their buying criteria as to what it is that they're looking to buy when it comes to just, you know, whatever kind of land they're looking to acquire. And then from there, you now have the information that you need to start hitting the ground running and finding motivated sellers.
Correct. Yep.
Hey, listen, I don't got a real estate license, but they might as well give it to me, ladies.
You did really, really good explaining that.
I'm with you. Keep going.
All right. Awesome. So let's keep going. So once I got the land acquisitions email and I reached out to them through email and they given me their buying criteria as far as what they need, I'm going to go ahead and pull that. So I'm going to go to another tab here and I'm going to type in PropWire. So PropWire, I told you, is that free data provider that gives you all of the lots and the properties that you possibly need in any market. So I'm going to go to I'll go to Cape Coral. That's located in Lee County. So I'm going to type in Cape Coral and I'm going to just search. I don't like touching the lead types because sometimes when you do that, it messes up the algorithm of what we're looking for. So I just click search. And then once I do that, like I said, this is a free tool. You can literally make an account and pull as thousands, hundreds of thousands of leads anywhere for free. So as I'm in Cape Coral, I'm going to go to property types, not lead types, and I'm going to click on land. And I leave price, bed and bath, I leave that alone, but I go to more property filters. I know, let's just say my builder is like, hey, I'm buying in Cape Coral, 10,000 square foot lots. I'll buy double, triple lots. So if that's the case, then I'm going to put 10,000 square feet because that's what they're looking for, minimum. And I like to put in, let's just say they're like, oh, we're not buying nothing more than an acre. We don't want nothing too big, right? So if you know, if you're in land, you should know this number by heart. How many square feet are in an acre? It's 43,560. Don't get this confused with the building size. You want to make sure it's on lot size.
Gotcha.
And then I'm looking for land. So I'm going to go ahead and do owner filters. And I want someone who is a husband and wife or an individual who owns the land, not like a business or an LLC. And you can even add in like somebody who has a bank owned property or properties in a trust. If you feel fancy and you want to do that, that gives you more results. I'll do that for this example.
Okay.
Owner occupied means do they own and occupy the property? I just leave that alone. I leave absentee owner location. I leave that any as well. Years of ownership. I don't want to reach out to somebody who just bought this lot a month ago or 2 months ago, right? I want to be able to find people who are somewhat motivated. So I like to put 3 years or more of ownership.
Gotcha.
And then I'm going to go ahead and click save and close. And then my results should start narrowing down to 14,000 lots. Sorry.
Quick question before you continue. One of the things you said when you're setting your filters, right? You talked about how you don't look for businesses. You're only looking for individuals. Is there any reason in particular why you don't prioritize businesses?
Correct. So the reason why I don't is because I noticed that when I reach out to people who have businesses, they tend to more than likely want to be developing on this property already. Mm-hmm. They have it as a buy and hold it to park money into. Sometimes it already has a house on it. They're just not as motivated. So I like mm-hmm. to really target super motivated individuals before I jump into pulling everybody. I will occasionally pull businesses here and there if I need to, but I like to start off with these set standard filters.
Makes sense. Gotcha. Keep going.
Yep. So then once I'm done with that, I go ahead and save and close. And as you guys can see, I produced 14,514 vacant lots that meet this criteria. And that's 14,000 plus people that you can reach out to and see if they want to sell. Now we'll go ahead and select all. And you can obviously get the sign up or sign in, but you can go ahead and save this and download it. And then now the next step is skip tracing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I could do this, like I said, in any market. I can do Cape Coral. I can do any other city. I can circle, so I can draw. Let's just say my builder wants a specific neighborhood. That happens mm-hmm. a lot in Cape Coral. Like there's an area called, I can't even find it. It's called Rotunda West. Okay. That's pretty popular. Gator Circle, like let's just say they only want Gator Circle. You can click and just do this entire area right here. And then that way, you know, if your builder wants, sometimes it acts funny, but I mean, if I wanted to pull this entire area, I could, right? I can mm-hmm. draw around the areas I need.
Right.
So go ahead. Once I download all of these or export all of these properties, I then will go into skip tracing. Okay. Now, I use a lot of different skip tracing tools, but the two main ones that I really, really enjoy are Lead Mining Pros. They're really affordable. Lead Mining Pros, mm-hmm. they're great for skip tracing. They're only 7 cents. And if you use the code Land Queen, you waive your active your admin fee, which is really cool.
Awesome.
But they're only 7 cents. They're really, really good. Mm-hmm. And then I use another one called Skip Matrix.
Okay.
Skip Matrix is higher quality. So if you need like real good quality data, because Lead Mining didn't probably give you everything that you needed, or you know, the data just wasn't as accurate for you, you can right. always use Skip Matrix with the same Land Queen.
There you go.
But they do show you how to upload this list. So once you get that list, you need to upload it and send it off to Skip Matrix or Lead Mining, and they will give you all the phone numbers. So once you get the phone numbers is when you can contact them and see if they want to sell.
Now, that's where it gets even more interesting, right? Because mm-hmm. you had mentioned something earlier. You talked about a virtual assistant. You also talked about CRMs and automation. Right. In the beginning stages of things, were you yourself calling each and every single of these leads, or did you have a VA in place already that was doing it for you? Were you sending text blasts? What was that process like?
Listen, if you're an entrepreneur struggling to get funding because of your bad credit, then this video is for you. You see, I understand that when banks deny businesses for funding, they're not just denying businesses the capital they need, but they're also denying business owners the resources that they need to build the business of their dreams. And as a business owner, I've seen this happen over and over and over and over again, but I want you to know that there's a solution. Because here at Takeoff Financial, we've helped countless entrepreneurs just like you go from having poor personal credit and not being able to access funding to having perfect personal credit that they were able to leverage to access 5 to 6 figures in funding, and we want you to be the next one. So click the link above or below this video to secure your free consultation, and we'll see you on the other side of success, family.
Yeah, I was doing all of it literally on my own. Like the entire process, I was doing the entire process fully on my own with my phone, cold calling one person at a time. I didn't even have the money to skip trace. I was using, what is it called? Free People Search, True People Search. That's how we didn't have it like that, okay? So mm-hmm. I had to use those free tools, and that's even how I got my first deal, was from calling from True People Search, and that happened to be the guy's number because he was older and never changed it. So once obviously I got some more money, I invested more into skip tracing and was able to put more quality data into my business.
I love that. Now, to kind of dive a little bit further, you just did a fantastic job of walking individuals step by step. And as you explained, it is very simple. Like, it's not rocket science. A little bit of elbow grease, but if you're telling me that I can make $7,000, $10,000, $15,000 within a week and some change, maybe a couple weeks after that time of just finding someone who's ready to buy and someone else who's ready to sell through a couple clicks, skip traces, and Google searches, I got time. You understand? I definitely got time for that. I'm curious to know with you, you talked a lot about the conversations that you're having with the buyers. What do those conversations look like when you're finding the sellers, you know, of these pieces of land? Is there any like tips and tricks of the trade, or is there a pretty straightforward conversation there in terms of getting the navigating it to getting to the close of the deal?
As far as the sellers goes, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay. So for the sellers, honestly, first things first, I do a lot of text blasting. I text a lot of sellers first. I do not really cold call much initially. We send out a bunch of text blasts and ask the very most simple thing. Hey, John, I've seen that you own vacant lot on 123 Main Street. I wanted to know if you had any interest in possibly selling. That's all I say. Mm-hmm. If I get a response back and they're like, what's your offer? Make me an offer. That's when I look at the property, analyze the area to make sure, okay, does this fit my builder's criteria? Because when we're pulling so much data, you're going to find a well-versed amount of different properties, right? You're going to find things on in the middle of nowhere. You're going to find things that are, you know, in perfect neighborhoods where builders are really needing new construction. So you're going to find a lot of stuff, and it's your job to analyze it from a builder's perspective. Okay, does my builder want this? Does it hit the lot size that he wants? Does it have any dirt roads? Is it on a main road? Is there other homes nearby? So there's a lot of things and stipulations that builders are asking, and they'll put that in the buy box. You just have to analyze it. If it meets all the criteria, you submit it to your builder, and your builder will let you know, hey, this is good to go. We'll close on in 30 days for the price that we already, you know, you already know the price, so we're good. Like, so that's how I'm able to do it. The builder will send me an assignment of contracts. So once I have it under contract with the seller, I will sign an assignment of contract and sign that. And then title will look at both of them and close on it once the builder is done with their due diligence.
Easy money. I love that. Okay, great. Now here's the thing, right? When we talk about real estate or really any field of just business and investing, as great as the wins are, the losses are inevitable. I don't care what you do, from selling pizzas all the way to buying and flipping houses, you are going to lose at some point in time in the journey. If you are, you're probably not trying hard enough. What would you say now, within you being in the land wholesaling space, is the most important loss that you've taken to date in you navigating this journey?
Oh my goodness. And you would never think that this would be the biggest deal killer in all of land people. Everyone knows. The biggest deal breaker for all of people who wholesale land full time are golfer tortoises.
What?
Yep.
A golfer
tortoise.
What is that?
It's an endangered turtle that is literally all throughout the state of Florida and other states as well. Okay. Endangered species, basically. So an endangered species can kill your deal because builders are not legally allowed to build on these homes, being that they don't get approved for permits when they have an endangered species on it. Okay. So I've had over 100 lots under contract this year in 2024. It's May. Mm-hmm. I've had over 100 lots under contract, 121 to be exact. And I've only closed on 52 of those lots because the majority of them, 90% of them, had gopher tortoises on them.
Interesting. So because of an endangered animal,
correct,
that lived on the land that you were getting ready to close a deal on,
correct,
that pretty much sent the whole deal tumbling down. Is there a way to work around that or avoid that, or is that just the nature of the beast?
That's the nature of the beast. And unfortunately, gopher tortoises are very expensive to remove them on each property. They cost about $10,000 per tortoise to remove. And sometimes there's up to 10 tortoises on one property. So you're talking about $100,000 of just tortoises.
And these are just turtles. These are regular animals that are just on land. Correct. But because they're endangered, it's like, nah, deal done.
You can't move them. If you touch them, move them, cause them stress or anxiety and cause them to, you know, die, it's a felony and you can go to jail.
For a turtle?
Correct.
Let me tell you something. walk with me. $50,000 on the line. It's one gopher tortoise that I got to move to get this 50K. Hey, I'm coming to the closing table with the handcuffs. Y'all going to have to see me.
I've lost out on over $100,000 in deals this year on tortoises alone. And I've easily lost over $1 million the last over 5 years that I've done this. And my students easily more than that. So it's just the name of the game, man. You got to deal with it.
The name of the game, the nature of the beast. Well, I learned something new. I've heard of people who have lost deals off of contractors. I've known people who have lost deals off of bad title. Like, the list just goes on and on. Never have I ever learned something new. Never have I ever heard somebody lose a deal off a turtle.
All the time. Actually, I want to see if I have a picture of it. I might, if I send it to you, can you like pop it in on the screen? I'll show you.
I should be able to. Where are you going to send it? On the gram or? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you a screenshot of tortoises that are actually four burrows on my lots that I had under contract that the deal died. It was 40 grand.
I'll definitely have to. While you're pulling that up, and I know we have to start to wrap as well. Mm-hmm. Go for tortoises, ladies and gentlemen. while we're starting to wrap it up, obviously up until this point, you've done a tremendous job of not only creating success for yourself, but like I said at the top of the episode, you have created opportunity and created a way for a lot of different individuals, men and women, black, green, yellow, all different walks, to not only come into the space but have immense amount of success. The amount of people I've seen who have spoken your praises about you kind of holding their hand into this process is pretty ridiculous. I want to speak to not those people, but I want to speak to the other individuals that were exactly where you were in that year of 2018, where they're like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They're ready to take that step into the world of real estate, or maybe it's not even real estate, just some form of entrepreneurship. And they need that push. They need that those last final words of confirmation and motivation or whatever it may be, to get them to take that leap. If you had to speak to those individuals now in the closing of this episode, what would those words be?
It would be honestly like just being able to look at your current situation, right? I like to look at my current situation and figure out what my why is. I think a lot of people forget that is, what is your why? Why are you even doing this? Just because when this business gets hard, which it is, it's not as, I'm definitely explaining it in a very simple way. But there is hurdles that you're going to have to go through and things that you're going to have to push through in this business of wholesaling land and entrepreneurship in general. And to be able to refer back to your why is what's going to help you keep going. So make sure that your why is going to be strong enough. So for me, my why was my father, right? Mm. My father came from Haiti, from nothing. He brought my mom here, raised us here, and literally no money. Mm-hmm. And brought us up in a middle-class family, worked 2-3 jobs, drove all the way from Orlando to, Winter Haven to Miami to work his 9-to-5 just to provide for us every single day. And to see him work so hard, I knew that I had to do better and I had to sacrifice my time, my efforts into making sure that I retire my dad. So for me, my why was my father. And I didn't want to see him continue working, even though, his health was starting to decline. So I thought about every time a seller hung up in my face, I'm like, oh, I want to quit so bad. But I'm like, I know my dad needs me to make this money to give back to the family. So what I did was, a few years later, after closing my first deal, I ended up retiring my father. So my dad has been retired now for the last couple of years, on payroll, literally living his best life, going to trips, going to Europe, going to do whatever he wants to fulfill his dreams. And that right there was the reason why I never gave up. So having that why is really, really going to be what's important to you. Maybe your kids, maybe your wife, your husband, and maybe just you. You just want better for yourself and for your generation, the generation to come after you. But it has to be strong enough to continue this legacy of going forward. And that's what was for me.
Wow. I'm at a loss for words. That was powerful, even for myself to hear. Congratulations on such a monumental feat in being able to put your father in that kind of position. And thank you, not only for the value provided here, but on some incredible words for us to close out on. I know we got to get you out of here. Before we do, let the people know where they can find you and also what you have going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So You guys can find me on Instagram at MissMS_Derby, DHERBY. You can find me on at that name on all platforms. I have a YouTube channel too, where I do have my podcast that I just launched last year. I talk about wholesaling land and all the things with real estate when it comes to real estate investing. And yeah, I do also teach classes to teach other entrepreneurs how they can get into wholesaling. And yeah, I would love to connect with everybody watching this YouTube video and this podcast.
There we go. And once again, I appreciate you for coming on here and providing an immense amount of value to our audience. But more importantly, I appreciate each and every single one of y'all. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Make sure you take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now. Not only to show this episode love, but also to check out Derby on all of her social platforms and her incredible podcast too, Landing the Deal as well. I appreciate each and every single one of you guys immensely. But as always, I'm Marvin Francois. That's Miss Derby. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank y'all and God bless. Peace.
Thank you guys.